What about the zeros and the ones?
Matt takes his Star Wars very seriously.
I don't fuck around.
Why do you take... Why so serious, Rahul?
Why so serious? Do you see these scars?
Do you see these bills? They come from my ex-wife. Wives, right? Hello, everyone.
Evil.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of We Shot First. We are streaming live. We are recording... Season 3, episode... Geez, I've even lost count. If you don't know who's here... Seriously, every time I try and start a game... I even mentioned your Rick and Morty
phone. I'm just like, oh, crap. I'm trying to turn all the volumes down.
We've been sitting here for an hour. He hasn't shut off his phone. Hello, welcome. We're on Facebook. Someone pull that up, please. We're on Twitch at... .tv/GMScott. Someone pull that up, please, because apparently I've been banned from talking to chat. It's too distracting. Corey Chazon's in the house, returning as Ramagilagar, the scoundrel. I'm worried, though, the mic isn't drawing you. Corey, say hello.
Oh, hey, everybody. How's it going? Oh. I am the guy. You need it. I know where to get it.
Oh, yeah. No, it's working. It's put something funny on your head, but it's working.
I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Virtual green screen. Matt Witt, Aiden Wilms, Joe Gibson. Ryan Messina is unavailable tonight, but he has told me that he is going to be in position as a security guard at the casino and loom. 24, so I'm just to make intimidate checks. He's just going to loom. So, guys, where did we leave you? Like, where did we leave off? You guys have been arrested, right?
No, not arrested. Just temporarily detained interrogation purposes.
Okay.
Gilligar doesn't get arrested.
He knows everybody. Well, you were let out. I remember that. On bail. And Gilligar showed a couple thousand credits. And I think you guys were thinking of approaching Captain Morrow about setting up a new deal with Switch, perhaps?
Yes. That was kind of the plan. Unless Rema Gilligar has a method of coming up with his buy-in himself.
You guys also managed to steal Baron Kithris' datapad?
Sure did.
You find his key code for his hotel in that information. They transfer it to his data pad.
Upgrade.
You guys want to go check out his digs?
Let's go.
Now Gilligar's a roommate. Hey, you got a nice place to sleep? Yeah. All right.
Well, he had a decent size entourage. I'm sure he's got enough space for our entire crew plus a couple hanger-ons.
Hanger-ons? Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember where he was staying?
Oh, yeah, it was that crazy hotel. The dude who's, like, always sponsors the... I can't remember them. But I'm sure it says it on the room key.
Come again?
Royal Tenenbaum.
The Royal Bespin Casino is a casino where the tournament is being held. The hotel... that he was staying at, remember you guys went to check it out, was a tip you got from the Ugnuts. And it has had the tournament held at the casino before. At that hotel before, but that was not the name. It is the Yareth Bespin Hotel. Do you guys want to go there now? Do you have other plans? What do you want to do?
I believe I'm in the middle of grabbing a drink.
Oh, that's true. Now, when you got out of being detained, did we arrest you?
No, not just detained.
It was just a horrible misunderstanding.
Yeah.
And it cost me, I think, 3,000 credits or something like that. No, it was 5,000 credits.
Didn't cost me anything.
Yeah, because
I had a witness to back me up that I did nothing.
Yes. So where are we off to? Hotel? Go to jail free card?
Hotel.
The ship?
Holiday Inn.
The returning to the opulent Yarrowth Bespin Hotel, which is still decorated extravagantly and clearly one of the finest establishments in the galaxy and pet friendly. People can bring their dogs, their Ugnuts, everything in here. There are beautiful woven carpets stretching from one side lobby to another. Crystalline chandeliers hanging overhead, casting scintillating light down on the guests below. And on one side of the room, a row of fine wooden desks that house computer terminals and hotel employees, each of whom is helping a finely dressed guest check in. What do you do?
Straight to the elevator.
Okay.
I'm with him.
Okay. You guys got Merrick with you?
I'm assuming, I would assume so. It's a full ensemble.
Oh, no, he's talking to...
Oh, right. That's because that's who got him out of it.
Yeah, he's talking to... I've got his name here somewhere. To Jack, to Jakes, to the guy. You know the guy?
The guy.
The casino owner. Because he was... Yeah, I remember. He was with him, and he was talking about Vibish. Mr. Mole, I know a guy kind of thing, right? Now, Mole's with you guys, but... So, yeah, Merrick is like, hey, Roll. Here, let's see if I can't do this better. Hey, Roll.
Yes, big guy, what do you got?
I'm talking to my employer, and I'm thinking that perhaps the little bug man, I could get him job at the tournament. He seems pretty capable in battle for a non-human.
All right, leave that with me for a few minutes. I'll have a chat with Ramagilligar and...
Mole.
And Vibish. And see that's something they'd be interested in.
I believe it's Vibish. Don't mispronounce. He gets very offended. If he's interested, send him to the Royal Casino.
Will do, buddy. And good luck in there, man. Don't get yourself involved in any crazy fights or nothing.
No. You know, Raul, Little Bird told me you are my first priority, despite other employment Merrick may have. Merrick out. Ha ha, I got last word for once.
And he's gone. And yeah, that was a 10-minute phone call I actually had with Messina today. So what do you want me to do with your guy? So you guys are in the elevator.
Heading to the floor the room is on.
Okay, so you guys hear this one-sided conversation. You know, he's even looking over going, yeah, I'll talk to them about, you know, do you want to get to the room? You want to enlist them there?
We'll wait until we're in the room.
Okay. So the room is really nice. Like, it's a suite. You know what I mean? It has that sunken living room, a spectacular, opulent view of, you know, the clouds beyond the planet. And there's several adjacent doors. One's a bathroom and like three bedrooms. You know, one's obviously a master and some are just like smaller accommodation kind of thing. Good, good stuff.
Excellent.
Yeah.
This satisfies for Hall. I call up Alphonse and get him to bring over our stuff and cancel our accommodation in the other location.
Is the fonts on the Banshee? I thought you guys left him on the Archelon.
No, he was in Earth.
Yeah?
See, he's always with
see,
me.
See, now you guys should show the minis that I bought off of Messina. Not in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
To thank my cast members,
I've
been purchasing... Ryan Messina has a 3D
clearly
printer.
He has favorites in the cast.
The Archelon, or people who live within 5 seconds of his house.
Yeah, no, that's pretty fair.
I was apologizing. I was apologizing and telling, you know, Aiden that, you know, this actually is his. I got to figure a way to ship it down to the States. That's really cool, though. Like, he's done this with a 3D printer. I found a file online and sent it to him. And I said, you know, could you make this? And he's like, yeah, why? He's like, no, you sent me the file. Like, I actually found some kind of file that runs in his printer, right?
Sweet.
Yeah, and, you know, for the Messina, for the cha-ching low price of, you know, he also gave me the two extra cast-offs and this little test.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll save that for my son-in-law.
It's the baby.
For Dr. Leff, the non-Star Wars fan player. You get a regular size
so
ship.
So cool, though. Like, and it's hyper-detailed.
Yeah, that's good. This came about because one of our fans had asked me about putting them in touch with Ryan, because during Ryan's interview, we mentioned Messina's Marvelous Miniatures, which I think he's yet to launch online or whatever, and they wanted to know to buy minis. And I said to the fan, I'm like, oh, dude, like, Ryan's cost to make a single mini for someone and ship it is like insane, because, you know, he's not dealing in bulk, but, you know, here you go. Best of luck, you know. And then I was like, oh, I haven't I haven't made any, you know, anything from Ryan to like to commemorate the show and have like a little token to stick on my counter forever. And that's like, oh, I'm not just going to make one. I'll make a couple. So, and here we are. If you live to the fourth season, you know, minis for all. So anyway, bing, door opens, beautiful room, you know, guys are stretching out.
Get in, relax, talk to Rama and Vibesh about the sending Mr. Mool down as security to join Merrick on that side of the fence. The more in, the merrier. Also, see if we can get the Captain Guy to...
Captain Guy? Koroma Moro.
The Isle of Moro.
Exactly. Captain Moro has his own ship. You met him on said ship, and that's how you did the phone call to Switch, the droid gangster from season one, and this guy is a Twi'lek.
Ah, yes.
Now, we skipped over that conversation.
We did.
And I'm actually kind of glad now, because now you can kind of go back and, if you want, with Ram McGilligar and see if, you know, because first you got to win over Moro to use his, you know what I mean? Like, Switch has a secure line to Moro. You shouldn't use the hotel to call Switch on.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unless you want to call Zin on the Banshee and see if he can call from the ship, because that would be a different...
Yep.
Yeah.
Could do that.
R4 as well is kicking around here somewhere.
But I think we'll take advantage of the contact here, and that keeps him in the loop for everything. It might adjust his strategies. So, yeah, arrange a meeting with him.
All right.
Rama, you'd best be on your best behavior with this.
Ah, come on now. I'm always on my best behavior. Trust me on these things.
Trust you? I don't trust you as far as I can throw you.
Ah, come on now. Don't be like that. Don't worry. I'll take care of it.
And as for you, Vibesh, are you interested in joining up with our rather large companion in the security team?
Sure.
All right. Head on down to the Royal Casino and rendezvous with him there.
We really should get Joe some kind of voice application, because he's the bug with the little voice box. He just, you know, pushes the button and it's like, yes, no, you know.
Get him one of the voice boxes.
Of the hive mind, right?
We are Legion.
You know, something like that. I'm going to sell this to somebody, maybe soon, and then you won't have to suffer. I got to say, though, you know, some of the fans were really big fans of my throwaway NPC. Do you guys remember 6-6? The Majordomo, Darga's Majordomo? The wrecked droid that gets slammed around and like, my lord, Darga presents to you! You know that guy? Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I was fan was texting me and it's like, what's your favorite character? Like, I love that freaking droid. He's like, oh, okay. Sorry, assorted cast members that put their hearts and souls into the... No. Everyone's got their favorites. No one ever picks the GM. So I took that as a win. You know, oh, well, a GM character, thank you. So anyway, you're setting up a meeting. Is there anything else you guys want to do before you leave and go to, you know, said thing? Let's go to Poser in the bar. Like, you kind of drag yourself into the closest cantina.
I mean, I just followed the guy.
Okay. He hung back, he watched the fight, came up, and if memory serves me, he was just ready to kind of pick up, strangely enough, where you'd left off.
Yeah.
Or ran into, not maybe at the square, but, you know, somewhere else. Or was he the witness? I can't remember. Did we have him?
He was the
we
witness.
We had Blake stand
and
up
when
for
I walked
oh,
out,
owe me,
he was
right?
waiting for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Blake's waiting for you. Okay. So
he's like, now you owe me.
Hmm. He's as good as his word. You have a drink, and these white-collar, blue-collar types shuffle in, and even though they're in downtime and in civilian clothes, you know, you recognize some of them as the customs agents that shook you guys down, at least one of them.
Yeah.
You know? And, you know, he comes up to you and says, hey, gentlemen, thank you so much for meeting with us, you know, blah, 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 type of thing. Before you can respond, Blake gets up, shakes the guy's hand, and then says, now, I'm not the kid's agent, but I will take that finder's fee you promised me. And the guy just nods, and they you know, touch data pads, and some kind of transfer safely occurs. He smiles and tucks his data pad away in the breast pocket and turns to you and says, next round of drinks, gentlemen, are on me. Kid, remember, you still owe me, but I have business elsewhere. And he he gives you information where you can contact him, like you could call him up on a comm link kind of thing.
Right.
And he, you know, leaves you with a round of drinks with your new friends. You know, they sit down. Oh, wow, great. What a great guy. You know, spent more money on the drinks than we paid him to, like, you know, find you kind of thing. And he heads off. And there you are.
So wait, a finder's fee?
Well, he said he could put you in touch with the band, right?
Yeah.
So apparently, maybe during the fight or, you know, whenever he called up the band and went, hey, you know, I know you're looking for a guy. I got this guy, blah, blah, blah. You know, he sold them on something.
Oh, okay.
And then just to be clear, because they're looking at him like he's your agent or something, and he stands up and he says, I'm not their agent, kid's agent, but I will take that finder's fee right now. You know, as opposed to like signing a document or something where an agent would wait around or you know, boost you. You know what I mean? Handle paperwork. He's like, my job is done. You found each other. Pay up. Later, kid. And you owe me. Keep an eye on you. You know, best of luck.
Yeah.
You know, if I happen around the casino, maybe I'll catch you performing. You know, see you. Kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Good,
gotcha.
A good Samaritan. Good citizen. Not shady at all. No. It's a good guy. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, good guy. So off he goes. And you're left with these band guys. So can I have diplomacy, please, from you? And we'll work out some details rather quickly about, you know, your involvement, your cut, what you can do, your availability to play with them, you know, that type of thing. Now, these guys are small potatoes. They just put themselves together, but they're old enough where they're like, they played back in the day. Now they have straight jobs. It's like, oh, we'd love to get together and jam again. And it's just a matter of mixing the chemistry. These guys are not learning they're not learning their instruments. They're former part-time musicians that put it down for a straight job kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
it's, all right, boys, we're getting the band back together.
Yeah, something like that.
I gotcha.
Or like those studio gigs where they bring you in to sing and they just have this, some kind of generic band going, these guys will be on bass for you. You know, there you go.
Yeah.
Put this guy in. He knows his stuff. You know, boom, 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 boom. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So as there's no diplomacy in Star Wars.
Persuasion. Sorry.
Persuasion.
Sorry. Persuasion.
Well, because I'm a Jedi with the Adept Negotiator and I forgot the name of the other talent I can use. I use the Force check as my persuasion check.
Please do.
Oh, I will. 19 for a 33.
33, huh? Not only are these guys all tilting their heads asking if you want fries with that deal, you're now the band leader and get 30% of whatever they make and blah, blah, you know, just ridiculous or whatever. With your slam dunk of force use, you suddenly sense something being open to the force. You sense a presence of not a presence, because I don't think you've been that close to this person. You get a feeling. It's the sense of looming danger. And at the same time, Rahal and the rest of you guys back at the room, before you step out, the hotel, like the hotel phone, as it were, the communication device that comes with the room. Yep. You call the front desk and people say, oh, you know, you could call this, you know, he doesn't have a comm link. He just called the hotel and they asked for room 4, that kind of thing, right?
Yep.
A missive from Coruscant comes up. You know, bing, you've got mail.
I'll just punch that up on the old data pad.
Okay. And I'm going to put this right in chat for you. And it says, missive from Coruscant. Transaction code name SARLACC065824. Sarlacco. Or Sorlac 065824, set to occur during Cloud City Sabacc tournament as planned. Stop. The Hutt has assured us that his agent will be present to receive the handoff. Stop. An officer from the Ostidius will be taking part in the tournament. Stop. The transaction will occur during play so as to avoid arousing suspicion. Stop. You are responsible only for observing this transaction and making sure that the Hutt's agents does nothing to endanger the security of the arrangement. Stop. Under no circumstances are you to interfere with the transaction. Stop. Once the transaction is complete, send a confirmation message to Coruscant Standard Relay 88 Shen Zesh 3. Then return to Chandrilia. No further instructions will follow.
That is bingo. Pay that. All right.
Your thoughts, gentlemen? I have a question. Does Gilligar have any idea why you guys are really here? the hunt for the hut, anything?
He thinks I'm here to do a trade negotiation for some of my, for mineral trading rights, the Ionite ore or whatever it was.
Okay.
The mining place where we first met him.
Okay. So you look at this email. You guys are like literally on your way out of the room. The thing goes off and you go back and check the email. It's like, okay, what do you want to do? Yep. Do you want to delete it, copy it, transfer it to your datapad, anything like that?
Oh, I'll transfer it to my datapad.
Okay.
And I will actually... So who all's here? It's just me...
Gilligar and Vibesh.
Gilligar and Vibesh, who's probably headed out already to the... You know.
Yep. Zin is on the ship, the Banshee, with the Captain O'Keefe and Crash the droid. R4 and Poser are in the wind. And you just called... Winston? Sorry, what's your guy's name?
Alphonse.
You just called Alphonse. So the loading ramp... passenger ramp of the Banshee lowers, and you know, just like in the old Lara Croft games, out comes a guy in a suit with a shaking tray, and he starts making his way across Bespin to the hotel in your room. You know, get your bags and stuff, right? Mission accomplished. Fat flag tucked under his shoulder, you know, that kind of thing. He's good to go.
Well, you gotta have someone. My manservant needs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I will tuck that information over. To bring up to members of the original party who were
okay,
the Alderaanian.
Mm.
And when I get an opportunity, I will speak to Zin and Merrick privately and let them know about that and watch for my mark to see they should pay attention to.
Cool.
From our multitude of angles.
So heading out from the Aerith Bespin Hotel to the shipboarding platforms, and then where they kind of have like a more permanent parking. You know, you're not just on a landing pad. They've directed your ship. They've either towed it or had you kind of jimmy over to one of the side platforms where you guys are in the ship parking, you know, for a quasi-permanent stay. Your ship's going to be there for a week or whatever. This is where Captain Morrow has his ship.
Okay. Space dock.
Yeah. So we head over there. And you guys have, you know, some time to kill, but Morrow is... making plans for his own thing and, you know, offers to see you guys right away. So by the time you guys cross the city and get something to eat and whatever, it's about time. So if you guys just want to head over, do you want to gather up anybody? Or are you happy just the three of you? Like, it's a little private thing with you and Gil and...
Yeah, no, that's it. Just me and Gil.
Okay.
Going to visit Morrow anyways.
Yeah, sure. No problem. So, Captain Koroma Morrow. A Twi'lek once again receives you on his little ship. Just a quaint, tiny little passenger. It's one of those, it's like an RV kind of thing. It has a cockpit with like two or three seats, and the back room is either cargo or, you know, he's got like a little bedroom and a refresher setup. It's, you know, just like a little mini, like a little RV kind of thing. A onesie. It can accommodate three or four people, but it's really designed. Like, it's just him and, you know, makes his way around. Nothing to see here, you know, one of those little under the radar types.
Yep.
Okay. The back end of it, like those drop pods from Stargate Atlantis, you know, just opens up and, you know, you guys come on and he loads you guys up. So a Twi'lek with a very light gray to his blue skin doesn't make him look older, but it certainly makes him look clammy, pallid, not ill, but you'd think the gray would make him stand out, but it just kind of, he just seems to have that kind of face where you'd overlook. You know, you see a Twi'lek, sure, you see the big head tails and everything, but there's nothing flashy about the man's face. He has a respectable, you know, outfit where he looks like he could fit in, you know, robes, business suit kind of thing, where he wouldn't get thrown out looking like riffraff with jacket and guns type of thing, you know what I mean? But he's certainly not dressed like a nobleman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Nondescript.
Yep.
Maybe
a
little deliberately.
There is some utilitarian. He actually has the like the boots and the pants that, you know, like a pilot or somebody that's on and off a ship kind of thing. And the robes kind of hang over it. And the robes go to like his knees. So, and it's not like he's got like combat pockets and all that kind of thing. Like, he's trying to cover it up. Like, he is wearing clothes that, you know, that suit. But he's not like in dress shoes or something that he can't run in. Or jump around in, or get into, you know, that kind of thing. So, anyway, he receives you, sits you down, and, you know, pours you a drink.
Excellent. I make introductions.
Okay.
Captain Morrow, this is my business associate, Ray McGillica.
Okay.
I recently came across some information that could, it has the potential to interfere with our plans. I can't reveal to you exactly what it is, but in light of this, I was hoping we could potentially bring my friend on board just to aid in this venture.
Okay. Still pouring a drink, a big shit-eating grin slits the man's face. Gilligar, the man has the classic jagged, pointed shark teeth go together that some of the Twi'leks have. And for the first time, the man looks actually menacing and more intelligent than, you know, the posterior normally would give. Pouring out the drinks, this big grin, and he says, "Yes, I thought you may have had some sort of ulterior motive for visiting me again so soon. Still, I appreciate you not meddling in our business, and our employer, our benefactor, shall we say, is unavailable at the moment. However, I'm sure if you tell me whatever you want to tell him, I can pass this along, and, you know, he will know all the quicker since I have the encryption codes for our," smiles at you and hands you each a drink, "benefactor."
I'm going to randomly pull a deck of Sabacc cards out and start shuffling while I'm standing there.
Okay.
And I'll grab my drink with one of my other hands and take a sip.
I rolled a persuasion of 24.
Okay.
To try and convince him that even if the information I have turns out to not pan out, it's only going to increase the chances of this little scheme of ours to be successful.
Mm. And would I be a part of this scheme?
But of course.
So
you already is.
So he says, sort of sweeping his robe under his knees and sitting down on a bunk across from you guys. "Gentlemen, let us discuss, you know, what is troubling you so."
"I just recently found some information that one of the players' motives may not be specifically, what's the word I'm looking for? Game-oriented. And my concern is it could possibly interfere with the tournament."
Okay. He looks over at Gilligar, who you notice he's been speaking vaguely. Like, this is my buddy, we have, right? He's in no way trying to just kind of talk openly in front of Gilligar that we are looking to fix the game for our benefactor, who he has purposely not named. And now you're saying, "Hey, there's somebody quite literally possibly doing what the two of you are trying to do." But I get it. Oh, okay. You know, like there's... Okay. Just so we're clear for Corey and your sake that, you know, he is...
He's trying to be indirect.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, obviously Gilligar...
He doesn't trust him.
Well, no. I don't know if Gilligar's been let in on something. As far as I know, Switch said, you know, "You. And these are your associates. He knows everyone you're associated with. I don't know this guy. But I'm being social and nice and, you know, that kind of thing." So anyway, badly too of me to sort of literally hammer out the scene objective like that. But I'm really worried we haven't played long enough that we'd be halfway through our role play and then something would go sideways and I'd have to call someone a meta going, he doesn't know that, or you don't know that, or that kind of thing. So just so we stand. So you're saying one of the players is looking not to hold up, you know, an honest man's game? That's most troubling. Do you have this person's identification? Do you think my benefactor could possibly help in root him out?
That's part of the reason why I wanted to add an extra set of eyes. So I could perhaps shift my focus, because I'm not sure who. But I'm pretty sure once I get there, I can pick him out.
Hmm. He says, "Well, you're in luck. I've heard rumors that the owner of the Grand Casino is looking for extra security help. Perhaps you could place your eyes," again with that wicked teethy smile, "in that position."
"Oh, I'm already a step ahead of you, my friend. I've got two compadres with security assignments already."
Hmm.
"Say my first rodeo."
"Of course, of course." And he takes a moment, swirls and smells, and then finishes his drink. "Ah, so... how about we, as you core worlders say, cut to the skinny, eh? What do you want from Captain Morrow? How can I be of service?"
"All he's looking for is the entrance fee for my friend here to join in the tournament."
"Oh, no, 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 no. You understand that even Morrow is here under, you know, certain terms of a benefactor. The same benefactor that has fronted you those 10 10,000, he says, spelling this out right at Gilligar, 10,000 credits, is not so easily, it's not something I keep on my person or even in my ship.
Oh, but of course, you're going to have to run this by our dear benefactor.
Hmm.
While this is going on, I'm shuffling and I start dealing a couple of sabacc hands, and I make sure that our friend across the counter face up gets a winning zero.
Okay. You notice he keeps, like, he's talking nicely, but you do notice that he's glancing down and looking, like, watching what you're doing. Manages to keep a straight face, but whenever the eyes go down, you do see the wheels turning, like, hmm.
we pick him up, shuffle him again, yeah, you know, do some fancy hand-to-hand, give him a full plus 23.
Okay.
Pick him up, shuffle him again, give him a minus 23.
Okay.
We just keep giving him a winning hand.
Okay. And you're just laying these face up so I don't have to, like, reach and pick them up, implying that I'm in on any kind of bet. You just...
Nope. Put... Just okay. Face up, just like I'm just practicing, you know, like dealing hands, shuffling cards.
Okay. So, back to the skinny. You wish me to contact our benefactor to see if we could double down for your friend here, right?
Exactly. It's only going to up the chances, and you don't even have to pay him out of your share of the winnings. That'll come out of mine.
Really? He says. Now he leans forward. So, whatever deal you've struck on your own, you're just going to help. Well, that's very generous of you. I suppose our benefactor would owe you quite the favor if you could put in extra eyes for the same price, eh?
Let's just say I did owe him one.
Ah.
Consider this back to even Stevens.
So, Morrow assumes you are a visionary. Credit for the future, where really you're just trying to clear red from your ledger. Still, he says, I have to admire that certain debts are paid sooner than later. And again, the eyes keep shifting to what, you know, Gilligar's doing. He just can't help himself. Every time he's like talking to you, and like every time Gilligar like lays that last card, the eyes just dart down to see what he did. Well, gentlemen, he says, standing, he said, it's a pleasure meeting you, Mr. Gar. He says, I have a few things, errands I have to run today. He says, but as soon as I hear from Switch, you know, I will, you know, ask him on your behalf. I don't see why he could disagree. He says, you know, but I'll call you, you know. Anyway, shouldn't be more than 2 to 12 cycles, you know. And yep. The cycles on this planet being their version of ours would be like, you know, inside of a day. Anywhere from 4 to 24 hours. Still, it might be cutting it close, but still, it should fall within the mark of the tournament, which starts tomorrow.
Yep. Well then, my friend, till tomorrow. And actually, I'll send Rama out for a second so I can talk to him privately about our strategy.
Okay. So, Gil, you're asked politely to, you know, it's a pleasure.
Have a good day. It's been a pleasure meeting you, sir.
And he actually goes to reach all four. Like, he shakes your hand vigorously with two, and then reaches out for your other hand, and then, like, lifts up to, like, in case you want to go all four, just, you know.
Absolutely. Let's do all four.
Okay. And anything he steals off you, you steal back, and we end up with each other's wallets and check it later. It's the same amount of cash, but, you know, it's a friendly kind of thing. You know, it's this thing. Data pads are going back and forth and all this, each other's watches and shit. By the time we're done, our special, you know, what was it? Big Mac fillet of fish, you know, bon, quarter pounder handshake. Dun, 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 dun. We're both on the downtake. Da, 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 you know, the kind of thing. So, you know, thieves can't, right? Yeah. Okay. So out you go, and the door, you know, closes. Right.
And it's just, no specific details, but I'm just going over the strategy for tomorrow, how he wants it to play out, and I'll factor what Rama does on his end.
Your friend is quite dexterous. His four appendages are sure to draw a lot of notice. Now, they have droid dealers. He won't be obviously dealing. Are you looking to use him as a decoy? Obviously, a man with that many arms to play cards is certainly everyone's going to keep an extra eye on in case he is, you know, shall we say, playing above or definitely below the table?
Oh, absolutely. It's always nice to have something that draws attention away from yourself.
Hmm.
And Rama, if anything, catches people's eyes.
I see. Well, he's not so foolish as to actually cheat at the table. There's ways we can work the numbers through, sort of, shall we say, every shark for himself in the ocean, you know, but all the sharks go after the guppies. You don't see sharks eating other sharks. And this is the strategy that, you know, I can understand the more sharks we place at the table, you know, there's a... less fish food to go around, but he wouldn't actually cheat and be disqualified, drawing attention to yourself and me.
Only if we needed him to.
Again, with a big teethy grin, he just nods and just goes and pours you another drink. Yep. And the scene, you know, plays out. There's Gilligar outside the ship, you know, just playing with his cards. Poser.
Yes.
So they're arguing about, you know, whose sister you're going to marry. Should we call is it Poser Sham, the man and friends, you know, name the band, all this stuff. And you're sitting there all wrapped up in your forest mind going, something's here. Like,
Poser and the wannabes.
You haven't had
Poser
this.
Poser and the wannabes.
Poser and the not quites. You sense something you haven't sensed since we fled Cato Nemoidia.
Oh, no. So wait, So it's the same presence as Cato Nemoidia and Felucia?
It's not a presence. It's a feeling. Like you have a really bad feeling all of a sudden that something's coming.
Okay, gotcha.
Not here yet, but you just have that dread, like, let's say someone you know, you haven't seen in a couple of weeks, you know, and you're concerned they're going to come back. You go to your job, and you just get this feeling like, this guy's going to turn up at my work. This car is going to, this ship is going to show up where I want to go, you know, that kind of thing. Like, you guys were, like, halfway across the galaxy the last time. You know, this Victory-class Star Destroyer, which only you know the name of, I believe. No, actually, no, that's not true. When you guys talked to the Maitre d'Homo, Darga's actual Maitre d'Homo, sorry, it wasn't the droid. Maitre d'Homo was the Nemoidian guy that had semi-quasi-force powers that you guys fought at the end.
Yep.
He was literally talking to someone. You actually saw the hollow projection of a man and that voice. And then you guys killed him, but he was talking to the Empire and then you guys ran away. Joe?
We fled very far away.
Yeah. Joe's go-to phrase? Can I have that, Joe? What?
Say what?
When you flee the scene, your tactical withdraw, what do you always say?
Run away.
Oh, come on. Do it the Joe way.
Run away.
There, run away. He used to do this at the gaming table years ago when we were playing Star Wars with Doug, right? Shit would get real. He'd be like, run away. It's funny because he turned to you. Who was ever to be Jeremy, whoever sat beside him, he just like turned right into his chair and go, run away. Okay, dude, we will. Joe has been spooked. Our tactician is afraid. Maybe we should withdraw, gentlemen, you know, that kind of thing. So not here yet, but the sinking feeling, it's coming. With that 33, I think we've extended your reach not to just beyond the atmosphere, but possibly into the future, possibly across the galaxy. He's getting stronger with the Force. What do you do? The guys are like, you smell something?
Yeah, well, as I'm done sithing myself, I'll turn to the guys and be like, well, the name doesn't matter as much, but who's going to be on vocals? Am I just going to be playing backup? These things are important.
Oh, do you sing?
A bit.
Oh, great. Well, you know, there's, you know, anyway, they're talking about maybe tonight or even tomorrow, you know, there's a chance for them to get together and practice after work kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so they give you an address for later this evening, later in the day kind of thing, if you want to, you know, hook up with them and actually set up and go or some, you know, play in a little
jam
bit
session.
Kind of thing. So they, it's like this kind of like this afternoon, midday kind of thing you guys were doing, like a lunch bar.
Yeah.
You know, we stay out and, you know, we watch the dancers and the overpriced drinks, and then we head on out of the man cave, and everyone goes back to their jobs and their significant others and everything, and then ding, you know, shifts over later. They expect you to show up at some warehouse district where they have instruments, and they're gonna, you know, everyone gets to sing, dance, shimmy, play instruments, you know.
Yeah.
One guy is like, obviously we're far away from actually like performing a gig or whatever, but these guys are talking like they have some in, like, because they work here. There's cantinas and there's a bunch of stuff that, you know, they could get their hands on almost immediately.
Yeah.
You know, tomorrow night's wing night, you know, over at the...
Well, would it be possible to play at the Sabacc tournament?
They all look at you blankly. We've never played together as a band, and you want to play the yearly tournament at the casino?
I can tell that you've probably been a while, but it would really get a kickstarter to the band.
Yeah, no kidding. Jeez, man, if we could get in there, that'd be great. Anyway, they have this tense moment, and then they laugh like you're joking, like that would be a dream job out of the gate. You know, like, sure, you know, if somebody could get us that. Yeah. But jam session first. Anyway, so they bail.
I'll finish up my drink and then start wandering. Actually, I'll leave the bar and start wandering around, and then realize, should I go back to the old... Let me ring up Brawl Hall. So... Ding ding, pop on the comm link.
He's got what was it? His comm, you know, because he's come into money and leveled. He's got the ringtones for each person that calls him. What would Poser's ringtone be, Rahal?
Good question. You don't have to leave that with me.
Okay.
But needless to say, Poser, my main man.
Rahal, where are you? I just got finished up with some
new
stuff.
New digs, my friend. New digs. I'll send him the address information. You gotta check this out.
Oh, okay. He's going to ask if you were back at the room, but okay. I'll head over there.
So you enter the Yareth Bespin Hotel. You've been here before because you were flanking, right? When we first saw the Baron, we were a group, and then we scattered to do stuff, and you got split up, came in at the last minute during the Baron fight. And then you wandered off, talked to your bandmates. So now you come back to the same hotel in Yareth. Rahal has got us a room. Go up there, and it's like, oh, wow, it's like one of the penthouse suites. You know, ding, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, Rahal, by this time you swing back, and you're there. You guys are back there?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Mole. Vibish.
Yes.
Okay. So since so much time's gone by, you've gone with them, Merrick's spoken with the guy, you've talked to him, you've presented yourself. How would you sell yourself as capable in case this guy is, you know, somewhat xenophobic or prejudiced? Little martial arts demonstration with his goons, perhaps some persuasion, or, you know, are you just one of those take it or leave it, and if they don't like what they see, you just walk out? Like,
yep, take it or leave it. Here's my price.
Okay. Persuasion for said price?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's say for argument's sake, you ask for more than like whatever your personal rate is for your services is like a bodyguard as opposed to what he's paying a security force that Merrick's gonna get. Persuasion of 15, he's like, oh well,
15.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, so I'm supposed to give you special treatment. Well, this is would that have anything to do with this? Anyway, he waves you over and turns like a laptop monitor around, right? And there actually is video footage of your fight. Not all of it. It's like someone's personal pocket cam, kind of like it's not like the street angle of some kind of security cam or whatever. It's like a fight broke out and there's people cowering and there's somebody like, oh, cool, check this out, man. You know, like they're fighting, right? And there's a guy talking and obviously the guy at the camera's like giggling and going from this one guy, go, oh my God, look at this guy. And it's dark, you know, it's jiggly. It's all over the place. There's people screaming and running around, right? But as he goes, there's a guy flying and all this kind of thing. And then there's this and there's you. There's a couple of scans where he holds on you fighting the girl with the sword. And there's you, you know, going toe to toe with a vibroblade, and it's dodgy and clippy, you can't quite see it, but because there's narration, because the guy's going, oh, dude, the bug guy's going toe-to-toe with the chick. It's got a vibroblade, man, to take your hand off. What are you talking about? And they got pans over, you know. Look, he's got nothing. No, he's got to have some shock gloves or something, man. That's just crazy. And then you're like,
oh, he tripped her again.
Yeah. Oh, there, you know. So they kind of stay in the fight, and then all of a sudden, like, Merrick comes over in the jetpack. Oh, dude, he's got a jetpack. And there's like, off you, gone. It's all Merrick, you know, that kind of thing. This was happened to be brought to me because of my current employment, employee, got himself a little trouble. And he's like looking at Merrick, you know, warningly, but luckily for you, it seems to have caught yourself a bit of a fan club here. So I will, I'll agree to 60% of what you're asking, which I might remind you is twice what I'm offering, you know, my regulars. Having someone that can handle themselves without weaponry, I'm willing to pay a bit extra for. But it's not a private contract. You are, you know, you're going to be working on a team. You're not guarding a single person. You must keep an eye on, you know, the well-being, the place, and everything. And he gets up and kind of gives you the arm and the shoulder. And we can work this out type of thing. And walks you guys out and, you know, welcome aboard. Right. Kind of, you know, as if you would have had agreed, you know. Get you the uniform, you know, Merrick's so-and-so. You look at the cafeteria. It's very nice. You know, Merrick's all excited you're on board, right? And Merrick, and you find yourself back anyway. Merrick's like, I got to refuel and everything. Merrick goes back to the Banshee. He is on call if anyone needs him, but he's technically at the Banshee was in refueling his jetpack because he used it. So Maul, do you want to go hang with Zin and those guys at the Banshee, or do you, which was your ride here, which by the way is a yacht. It is an opulent.
Blah, 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 blah.
It is an opulent ship. I don't know if you guys have actually seen, you two have actually seen inside the Banshee. This is the Banshee. And like the middle, it's all carpeted. Like this is Star Trek level comfort, right? In Star Wars. It's a sweet ship. It's heavily gunned, little yacht, you know, several rooms, private rooms. It's a yacht, man. Big living room. It's quite nice. Nicer than the room you were in. But you just saw the amazing room that Matt got. But you guys staying on the Banshee is an option. Because the captain, although she kind of isolates herself, you guys have all these rooms and suites there that, you know, if you need a place to stay for free, you can. So, hotel? Banshee? What do you want to do there, Mo?
I will do tell.
Okay.
Since my first enter. That's where he is.
They keep handing you off. You notice that? It's like, yep. First you work for Gil, then you work for Ahal. Now you're kind of working with Merrick for this.
As long as I get paid, don't care.
Okay.
But sometimes the hands you need involved on a task need to be a bit more subtle.
None of your crew qualify. I'm sorry. Not a one. Not a
Which
one.
Which is why it's just me and Gilligard in the tournament. And everybody else is
in the background. Yeah. Well, also because you get like.
I bet your poser could do some pretty crazy stuff gambling, though.
I'd love to see Leth sitting at a table. He doesn't even tell you he shows up. He just pays the 10 grand. You look over there. He is.
Yeah, he's just part of the tournament.
Yeah, he's watching like card people. He's watching players, the interactions, you know. Starts a whole new theory about like the card and the gambling, you know, is the same kind of back and forth that one might use in flirting and rituals and, you know, that kind of thing. Goes a whole different line. You're rubbing off on him, obviously, if he's thinking like this. Maybe. Or maybe he's held captive by some crazy criminal AI that's loose on the ship. We just don't know. But we don't know. We'll have to get back. Star Wars will be moving back to Friday night soon, ladies and gentlemen, and you will see Dr. Leth again. But for right now, time's going by. Gentlemen, what do you want to do? Kick back a couple hours? You guys have any of your own plans? Anything you want to do? You guys meet up?
Work on that data pad.
Okay.
I'm going to go look for a side game going on somewhere. Maybe I can make a few credits.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The, what is it? Color Money? All the side games of the pool hall? Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Sure, sure. Without the official Sabacc tournament being played, every cantina has like devoted rooms because Sabacc fever's in the air, right? But you got to be careful. You could also end up beaten up and broke because, you know. So what level of game are you trying to go in? Are you trying to take what little money you have left and turn it back into 10 grand in case this thing with Rahal falls through? Or
I think we're going to search sort of for a mid-level game.
Okay.
And just see how it pans out. Not a very big high stakes game. Just something in the middle just to get the feeling and see if I can hear any gossip about what's going on and maybe make some cash.
Okay. Give me 10 wisdom checks and see how many times you beat DC 10. Standard rules for gambling.
Okay.
A little spammage. 12, you're still in. You're not cut out around a table. It's not like you're winning, but you're not losing, as it were. You know, doing rounds, right. Doing hands. Keep going.
That's an 11, so that's not that great.
Little cantina called the Belt.
17.
I'm looking at 12 and 18 because you've got your modifier, right?
Oh, right. I'm not looking at my modifier here on the screen. I don't know why I can't see it.
If you click the little bars, three little bars on the right, it'll actually fold out your actual dice roller. It'll show you the feed.
Three little bars on the
right. Yeah, it also comes up in the log if you click the little text chat bubbles.
Oh, there we go. Yep.
I'm going to try to compress so you can see those, yeah? Okay.
So, yeah. So I got a 12. I got an 18.
So you start doing well. You get above 15, you start on the winning side.
I get a 19, or I got a 20.
You actually win a hand. They're taking you more seriously.
9.
You lose one, but because you won one, it's not like you're busted. You lose
7.
You lose again. Keep going.
Oh my, this is bad.
Well, you're in for 3, but you won one.
20.
Oh, he makes his money back. Okay, so now at this point, you've broken even. You stayed in. You started picking up cash. You won. You did really well. Then you lost twice.
10.
You still break it even. What have we got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
11.
Still in. 9, 10. Last one.
Cool, 21.
And thank you, gentlemen. You know, that kind of thing. Big rake. You know, That was a good rant, because like you're just kind of going along. Oh, win. Oh, look, I'm losing type of thing. Oh, you're going along. You didn't blow out, and you didn't, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that's 9.
Is that 9 altogether?
Yeah, I think so. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah,
okay.
9, so let's go for... Yeah, go
okay.
ahead.
Go, yeah, no, go. I did ask for 10. They all say, like, give us a chance to win our money back, guy, and you know, that kind of thing.
14.
Oh, you almost... Like, you almost win, and you've got the guy, you know, this guy lays out, and you've got, 23. And he's got the Fool's Array, you know, like the Royal Flush of Sabacc, right? You're like, okay, you're reaching for the credits. He's like, hang on there, friend. And Colton Blake lays out a Fool's Array.
Oh.
I'm afraid this hand belongs to me, brother. But you did good, well, you know, kind of thing.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah. Anyway, the other players are pissed because it's gone around, but it's mostly been you and this guy. And he's like, you know, but I'm not a sore loser, gentlemen. And he gets up and he makes sure the table gets a round of drinks. And then he removes himself, you know. He says, everyone's packing up and pissing and, you know, getting their drink or whatever on. And he just kind of goes to leave. And he's like, you're pretty good, man. He's like, are you in the tournament?
I think so.
You think so? Hmm. Well, unless, shall we say, and you know, the guy's a little scruffy looking with like a trench coat, you know, he says, even having 10,000 credits doesn't get everybody in. You got to know someone.
I love to play. Gilligar's your man.
And he's like, well, if you get the money together, they turn you down, and he gives you some contact information. I know someone that can get you in, but like I said, you know, 10 grand at this late in the game, not, you know, 10 credit, 10,000. Not automatic win, because they're pretty much full up at this point, brother. But I know someone. For a small fee, let's say you come into 11,000 credits, one for me, you're 10 to get in, I'll get you in. Think about it. He finishes a drink and, you know, finger points around the table. You guys! Gets the hell out of there.
Nice.
And Colton Blake leaves again. So, you okay there? Matt looks like he's choking. He's dying. Too much sun today in the workplace.
We were busy looking for ringtones.
Yeah. Everyone's got to come up with a ringtone. The evening wears on. Poser, you have a meeting with your garage band. You guys get together. Yep. You play. Performance in this would be charisma.
That's
charisma,
a good question.
Dexterity, charisma. Solid skill. Persuasion. You all like what I'm giving, you know.
I mean, I'd say persuasion, but I might be a little biased here.
I mean, technically could be deception.
Well, it's, you're laying down music, I would go with dexterity or charisma. A straight up check, because you're either, you know, you're either Santana on the guitar.
Yeah.
You know, you're an ugly motherfucker, but look at that guy rock. Or you're just somebody that's all like, stop me up, I never stop, you know, shit like that. And it's okay, well, he's got something besides huge ass lips, because they keep coming back to see him. I'll make a grown man cry. Come on, give me a check before I keep singing. Get off, you loser. Push the guy over. Okay,
cool.
Some local guys, you know, so you're up there and you start singing.
7 on the charisma.
So you sing and like they smile and like, okay, we'll put you in the backup singing for now, but you know, let's have a dexterity for the playing.
16.
Oh, no, yeah. You got chops on the thing. You know, yeah. Good axe man, you know, type of thing. Singing will put you in the backup singer, you know, kind of thing. So you don't get lead singer, you know, maybe you can prove yourself later. But with these guys, we jam.
That's
and you
okay.
Just, you know,
because if I had to do lead guitar and vocals, I'd have to keep focus away from the game.
Yeah, like, I guess if you were lead singer, it would suck if you did this. And then people's heads exploded as you pointed to them. That's not a good bit of a giveaway, you know?
Yeah. Well, no, if I was lead singer, I'd also be doing at least rhythm with a guitar, if not also lead guitar. I'm just that good.
Okay. Fair enough.
But apparently, according to my roles, I'm not.
But you're in. Like, they like your music, you know, your standard DC 15, you know, El Generico is a difficult DC. You're rusty, you're good. You prove you can play. You know,
yeah.
You haven't impressed them like with a 20 or 25 or 30 or something, but it's like,
well,
okay, you can hold your own.
That's impossible to get with an ability check.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, well, you could Force users have high charismas. If you rolled something like 18 to 20, they'd be like, wow. You know, but they're like, no, you're good. You know, you hold your own. You prove you can hold your own with them. They're happy. We jam. Right? Anyway, you got to stick with it, play late in the evening, and then like they'll see about a gig in a day or so, or you just want to call it night, get back to your guys and your mission.
No, I'll stay late.
Okay. So Rahul Poser stayed up past his curfew. I don't know how you feel or want to do about that.
He is his own man.
Okay.
It's about damn time he started coming into him.
Well, that's the thing is like everyone's put himself in a position for the mission except Poser. Has Poser talked to you about getting into the band? As far as I know, this has just all been like, I gotta go do this. Did you actually discuss with Rahul your plan to get into a band? I'm getting into a band. We just assume it's gonna play at the casino. Your band formed yesterday. Now, maybe resourceful players with charismas and checks and things could, you know, intimidate, persuade, or get, you know, get him a spot. Find the current band, muscle them out. Leth could inject a Cygnus in said band, and then, you know, oh my god, you know, maybe somebody knows somebody knows somebody. Maybe you know somebody that knows people that could get you in. But your fellow bandmates at this moment are, you know, oh, we're playing together. That was awesome, you know.
Yeah. Paul does have experience in managing bands.
Oh, that's true.
And he does know a few of the people who may be involved there. At least he's got connections.
Poser and the Head Splitters. Eh? Poser and the Nose Bleeders.
A little on the nose.
Yeah.
Everyone around him bleeds because of his force powers. Poser and the Nose Bleeders.
Yeah, again, oh, a little on the nose. All right, and a little less subtle than I'd be going for.
All right. Well, I guess subtlety just isn't my strong point. And we'll see you next time on We Shot First. If you're watching our live stream, by all means, stick around for the second part. Otherwise, tune in a week or so later as we will continue to post Star Wars bi-weekly. Weekly, if we're lucky, but definitely at least a bi-weekly show for you all. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. I am GM Jeff Ball, your host, and we will see you next time. Say goodnight, Gilligar.
Hey, goodnight, everybody.